name is Marcus. I'm building EthOS. So the first question is, what is EthOS? So 3 years ago, we forked Android, more specifically GrapheneOS, and basically we started building Ethereum, putting Ethereum into the OS layer because we think that basically current OSs see Ethereum as more, you know, as an app, but we want to really leverage the protocol. So what the first thing that we did was basically put a light node on it. And so for example, we have on EthOS, we have a system level wallet or OS level wallet. So we took basically a signer, put it into the OS, and any app can basically connect to it and make signature requests to the user. And the upgrade for the users, they don't have to switch apps or anything, and it just works. There's also basically upgrades to privacy and security. And basically, the reason is it doesn't do any outbound internet transactions, so you also don't need any internet to sign anything. Also, yeah, as I mentioned before, we put right now on EthOS, we have two light client proxies. So when we first started, we wanted to put a, the first thing that we wanted to was put a light node on it. And at the time, we didn't have much to choose from. So we took the Geth light node, put it into the OS as a system server. And basically what happened was it really turned the phone into a pocket warmer. The battery really, really drained pretty quickly. But it did work. When you had a stable internet connection, it would connect to peers. And then you would have a local RPC with which you can send transactions, get blockchain data, and also any app could connect to this RPC. Yeah, as I mentioned, right now we have Helios and the Nimbus Verified Proxy. They're both currently light client proxies, not full light clients. Because of the merge, the Geth light node stopped working because the beacon chain was added to Ethereum. And so right now, basically, you still need a centralized RPC, but it does verify some pieces of data that it gets from this RPC. So this is pretty cool. And also, like for the UX for the user, we wanted to make it so that it's like as simple as turning on and off Bluetooth or Wi-Fi. You can turn on your light client and just like have a local RPC on your phone. And so this brings me like to the first issue that we have. Basically, there is almost no mobile native dApps currently. So basically, I'm a big fan of like native dApps. Currently, the like all of the dApps are like web dApps, and then there are some that are progressive web apps, but they still face the platform risk of, you know, Apple and Google can shut you down if you are a PWA. And so basically what we created last week actually is like a basically an app wrapper that is a native, it looks and feels like a native app, and but it actually opens up a web view that auto injects the OS level wallet into the web app. So for a user, it's just like, you know, opening Aave and the wallet is connected and you can start like basically you know, doing transactions. And so this brings me to basically our announcement from last month. We announced our first hardware. So basically what we first did when we first started was basically bring your own device. We have a, still have a web installer where you can basically buy a Pixel by yourself at a local store. It has to be bootloader unlocked. You connect your phone and it just installs EthOS on it for you. But like people ran into some issues. So basically, you know, because you had to get a specific Pixel and it had to be bootloader unlocked, and some carriers actually lie about it being bootloader unlocked. And so basically we then started like selling Pixel 7As running EthOS. But then we also came into a roadblock, and basically the roadblock there was that it's very hard to reliably get Pixels. And so we were just like, hey, let's do some hardware. And so we started talking with some phone manufacturers, and they sent us like some phones that they did in the past, but they all really looked bad. And we were just thinking, okay, nobody is going to replace their like iPhone with, you know, a random crypto phone. And so we thought to ourselves, hey, let's first make a really cool, fun, and exciting secondary device that, you know, because it's a secondary device, it doesn't have to be boring. And basically, it's called the DGen 1. because it's our very first device, and it's our first device on our journey that we want to, like our big mission is like self-sovereign hardware. And basically, what is self-sovereign hardware? I'm glad you asked. So basically, I wrote a blog post about it last year. And for me, self-sovereign hardware is where basically not only the OS that runs on top of it is open source, which we have currently, EtherOS is fully open source, but also the hardware is open and inspectable. Like literally from the CPU instruction all the way to the app. It's a big mission, but I think it's very important. Because currently with like, if you look at the current hardware wallet landscape, for example, if you take a Ledger, you really rely on security for obscurity. And that's very, very bad, especially if you're storing large amounts of crypto on it. And basically, not only that, but also basically last year, there was like this big controversy, if you remember. The Ledger, they announced like this Ledger recovery program where they basically said like, yeah, with a firmware update, we can extract your private keys. And it was like, oh my God. Okay, so basically if a Ledger can extract your private key, what stops a malicious actor from pushing a malicious firmware update? It's basically the Ledger firmware assigning key. Now I assume and I hope that they hold it very dearly and very secure, but this is like a huge trust assumption for like every Ledger to be secured by basically one Ledger firmware assigning key. So this is like very bad. And so for self-sovereign hardware, it's like a natural use case for crypto because you don't have to trust. There's no trusted modules. Everything is open. And like that's the one of the like big things with like the current phone landscape. Like the iPhones is like the worst because it's like, okay, closed OS and closed hardware. You can't inspect it on any level. But with Android, it's a little better. You can inspect the OS, but there's still like proprietary blobs of code, like for example, like Play services and like device drivers for hardware, which they don't allow you to open source. Just like Ledger, they can't like open source like some things on the like low level stuff. And so this is like, you know, very bad as soon as you have crypto in it as well, because you're like, okay, I have this phone, it has this OS and it's open source, but there's still like some trusted like blobs of code that are closed source and you don't know what they do. And so basically, yeah, that's like our big mission. And yeah, the DGEN one is like our first step towards that mission.